Music of Johann Sebastian Bach. Yes, originally written for the cello, transcribed for the viola, and played for us by Kim Kashkashian from the new recording of the Bach Cello Suites. Transcribed all six for viola. Brilliant new CD from the ECM label here on WCMU, your music and NPR news station, and a listener-supported service of Central Michigan University. The viola. It is Viola Day this Sunday at Central Michigan University. And I am told, Alicia Velotti, that every day is Viola Day, correct?
That is definitely our motto at CMU.
Every day is Viola Day. We welcome in Alicia and two of her viola students for a program that's going to be this Sunday, including a concert free and open to the public at 4 o'clock, Staples Family Concert Hall, music.cmich.edu for all of the information. But the concert also to feature a guest artist. And Alicia, give us a rundown of everything that goes into creating this day to showcase not only the music for the instrument, but obviously also the students in your studio.
Yes, this is now our third annual Viola Day. I think it's going to be our most exciting yet. We will have a viola ensemble, which will be made up of both my students, undergraduate and graduate, myself, our guest artist, Dr. Elias Goldstein. We'll have over 25 students coming from local areas from all over Michigan coming to play, and those students will all play in an ensemble, which will be also featured in this concert at 4 o'clock. We're going to have Miss Eleanor Morin, who is an Alexander Technique specialist, give a class. There will be a master class both by myself and by Dr. Goldstein. It's going to be an all-day event, an amazing thing.
How long does it take to pull together then, when you say students from all over and performers from all over, are we talking from then the area high schools, other colleges? How many different elements are all coming together then to do this?
Yeah, quite a lot. We have students that are high school students. We have CMU alumni, community members that are coming from far away. We've had people from all over in the past year, so it's pretty widespread.
And how often has this been done? Is this an inaugural event or something that you and other faculty members try to do to showcase your particular instrument and students each year?
I have done this now. This is my third Viola Day, so this is my third year at CMU. And each year that I've been here, I've tried to sort of build upon the previous year. So the first year we started out pretty small. Last year was really excellent. We had quite a crowd last year. And this year we sort of went all out and said, okay, we're going to now have Viola Day on a Sunday so that we can take use of all the time. We want to invite everyone. Everyone is welcome. And we added this other facet of the Alexander Technique program so that really anyone can join. It does not have to be a violist. Any musician or anyone who's looking to become involved with Alexander Technique would be very welcome as well.
Music.cmich.edu for all of the details and the concert. Culminating this is at 4 o'clock at the Staples Family Concert Hall. That is in the School of Music at Central Michigan University. You brought along two of the students from your studio. Tell us about guests that you have brought with you today.
Yes, I have here with me Grant and Paul. Grant is a first-year neuroscience major who loves the viola so much that he spends a lot of time with us in the School of Music. And Paul is a second-year music ed major who is also very involved with the viola.
And Paul, let me ask you then, performance or education, what are your aspirations for your studies beyond Central Michigan?
I'm currently studying music education, so definitely want to be very involved in terms of educating the future musicians.
And then a student that of any of the stringed instruments, in your case the viola, then do you look to go to a program that has a full string orchestra? Then you're proficient on all of the instruments to the point where you could then maintain, develop, build, and hold on a position then running an orchestra program at a school? Yes?
Yes, very much so.
Okay. And I must ask, Grant, a neuroscience major, but one who still enjoys the instrument, what was your background? Did you come then from an orchestra program and just wanted to keep up with playing? What is your story?
Yeah, I'd say that. I came from a orchestra program at my high school in Philadelphia, and I'm out here because I wanted to keep playing viola very much, not just like playing a little bit, but playing in a studio and an orchestra, and CMU does that for me.
Tell me about the relationship amongst the players. We were kind of joking about this before we came on today. And Alicia, you said that there's always that sort of, well, we'll say it, we'll put it right out in front. You know, the violin is the violin, and yet there are the other string instruments, but you joke about sort of the viola trying to raise itself up and say, we are here too, and the fact that so much of the early music was transcribed for the instrument, now we have evolved to more where we have more featured players, featured works being done for the instrument. Talk about that development and evolution along the way.
Yeah, I think the viola definitely had a stigma coming into the 20th century. I could probably talk a lot about this, and all my students know that we do a lot of focus on that sort of this evolution of the viola becoming a solistic instrument. But, you know, when we're looking back to the times of Bach or of Mozart, you know, the viola had a very lowly position. There were not any trained violists who were, you know, specifically went out to learn the viola as their instrument, as there was, for example, for violin or for cello. So going through our musical history, the viola really remained in the background. It did not have any specific works written for it. People did not train to be violists. They just sort of happened to fall into the viola. And we did joke about this, but it is a lot of a reality that the worst violinist would then be at the front of the viola section, because, you know, that was that was sufficient at the time. And actually in, you know, 18th century orchestras, when there was wind instruments that maybe weren't being utilized, they would say to the bassoon player, oh, okay, you know, you're not playing in this movement, you have to go play in the viola section for now. So it was really the viola was really not appreciated or valued as an instrument until we get into the 20th century a bit more. In the 19th century in Italy, starting there and going into the 20th century, there was sort of this boom. And that was sort of utilized by Lionel Tertius and William Primrose, who were former violinists, both of them, but sort of, you know, came into the viola, and people started to notice that this was an instrument that could be independent and could project. And there was a lot of technique involved that was different from, you know, both its counterparts of the violin and the cello. And so they're sort of our forefathers, let's say, of the viola independence movement. And so going forth now, we have so many skilled players. We have amazing programs to train on viola. And we have a lot of ensembles now, which is what we put a focus on for Viola Day, and what I do with my students a lot as well, even just in our studio, where we're all working together in sort of an orchestra, but it's just viola, which is an incredible thing.
And how, in an ensemble setting, then are things written differently? If we separate it, obviously, from a string quartet that would include the other instruments, then in an ensemble setting, are we still looking at different registers, different voices for the instruments to create, or is it a homogenous sound, or does it sort of move from one to the other?
Well, I think my students could probably, you know, chime in here as well, but because it's the viola, it's a beautiful sound. We don't have to worry about that because it's a whole orchestra of just violas.
No, I wasn't saying that, but in terms of it's within the range of the instrument, are the pieces and the ensembles broken down to where you will have some playing in the instrument's more upper register and on down from there to still create sort of the texture that one might think of as from within a string quartet, but obviously all playing the same instrument?
Yeah, absolutely. we have the viola is really able to go into the higher register on our highest string. Now, of course, we're only one string shy of being a violin. So we have one string, which is much lower, and we go up to the second highest string of the violin. So we can utilize it in the higher positions to play in a very high range. And the lower string, which is similar to that of a cello, we can use as sort of that bass voice. So we can really create this idea of having almost a whole orchestra just by everyone playing the same instrument.
And let me ask you, Paul, then, obviously as a viola player, but you've heard string quartets, I'm sure, brass quintets and the like. Do those sounds ever come into play in your head as you're approaching the music from within the ensemble, as to hearing those other voices and adapting it then to how all of these with your fellow violas? How do you blend those sounds, knowing that there are these other instrumentations and groupings?
I mean, I think on occasion I do, depending on the style of music we play and what the piece demands. But the more we play a viola ensemble, the more I notice that it's something that is very well balanced, just among, you know, one instrument as a viola. And so that way I think you get a very, very interesting blend of sound that just is just unique to viola.
And Grant, do you when you are breaking down in within the ensemble, within the range and the part that you're going to play on your particular instrument, is it the sound of the former full orchestra? Is it the sound of a band? Is it the sound of a chamber ensemble of only a handful of players? What most influences you in terms of creating your voice within this viola ensemble for the several players?
I mean, that tends to depend on what we're playing and who we're with. For example, if I'm with a large ensemble, I will tone it in with the rest of the section, and I'll play in the same way. But if we're playing in a quartet, I might need to be a little louder to make up for not having any other violas. And if you're solo, obviously you have to be quite projecting.
When you talk about, Alicia, the ensemble or ensembles that will be playing as part of this event on this Sunday the 17th, then how many different groupings are we looking at? Duets, trios, quartets, full group? How are the ensembles themselves put together?
We have some arrangements which have been made for viola trio that will then be a whole group altogether. So the violas split up into three parts. Some viola quartets, so with several violas taking each part. There will be some duets. So actually, Elias and I will be playing one of his arrangements of the Paganini. So we know the Paganini, obviously, the caprices for violin, and of course they're hard enough on violin. And Elias is an amazing violist and has made arrangements for the viola itself in a solo way, and also for duets. So Elias and I actually were able to perform some of these in Rotterdam in the last International Viola Congress, which was last November. So we'll be doing some of those as well. So that's sort of a solo work that's been then transcribed for two violas. So we do have quite a bit of everything. There will be also some viola and piano music as well on the concert.
And tell us a little bit more about your guest coming from. Where is he based, and is he currently then performing as part of a quartet or mostly solo work? Tell us a little bit more about him.
So Dr. Goldstein, I met about 9 years ago in England at the Lionel Tertis competition in the Isle of Man, which is, again, in honor of Lionel Tertis, who is one of our forefathers, let's say, of the viola. So he is the viola professor at Louisiana State University, but does a lot of solo work. He's very involved with the American Viola Society and the International Viola Society, as well as the Italian Viola Society. He was a guest in the fall. And so he does do a lot of performing with his duo partner and as a viola soloist with orchestra. And he has done a lot of work given the transcriptions that he's made of the Paganini caprices, giving those. He's given an entire concert of those in New York, which was, I believe he's the first person to have done all of the caprices transcribed for viola.
In a transcription like that and the different makeup of the instrument, how difficult a process then to take a work like that with the technique that is involved in playing those, talk about that difficulty in not only making the transcription itself, but what are the particular challenges to then adapting it to a different instrument?
Yeah, absolutely. The Paganini caprices are obviously so difficult for violin. So we know that a caprice or capriccio in Italian would be some kind of a way to have a solistic work, which is really demonstrative of incredible technique and incredible monstrosity on the instrument. So For violin already, it's really at that limit where, you know, we know someone like Paganini, who was almost referred to as the devil in a lot of ways because his writing was so difficult. It was really at the capacity limit almost of the violin. So when we put it for the viola, we're obviously looking at a much larger instrument, a larger body to get around. Our strings are thicker on the bottom end, so it's more difficult to get them to vibrate. We need a lot more weight from the right arm. We need a lot more flexibility because we're really trying to make a larger body resonate than it would be on the violin. So it does become really, really difficult.
Well, it sounds like quite a day then to involve not only the master class, but the chance to learn the techniques, to bring players all together, to create your own orchestra, the varying size of the ensembles, a chance to work with a special guest artist joining you, all culminating in a concert at 4 o'clock. And this is Central Michigan University's School of Music Viola Day, the third annual that Alicia Velotti, the professor of viola here at CMU, has put together. The 4 o'clock concert, free and open to the public, is at the Staples Family Concert Hall. And the details about that concert, the guest artists, all involving Viola Day, not just the 17th, but every day is Viola Day, but focusing in on this Sunday, February 17th, all at music.cmish.edu. To Grant and Paul, thank you very much for joining us as well. We wish you well in your future studies and as well as being a part of this special day. And Alicia, thank you for joining us once again as you give voice to your collective beloved viola. We do appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having us.